You met me deep in my despair to show me you would never leave me there. You claimed me 'cause I was made for so much more. I am your child, and I'm worth fighting for. Oh, heavy with the weight of my mistakes, you carried me and refused to let me sink under the pressure you meant for me to soar. I am your child, and I'm worth fighting for. Eyes haven't seen, ears haven't heard all you have planned for me, and nothing can separate me from your love. When there's so much more still worth fighting for. Now I'm moving by faith and not by sight towards victory. By the power of your might, you're straightening out my path, closing every door. I am your child, and I'm worth fighting for. Separate me from your love. When there's so much more, it brings is worth fighting for. And I'll be faithful for my wife and children, because my family is worth fighting for. No, this world is not my home, but your kingdom here is worth fighting for. I got a mansion over in glory, and my new home is worth fighting for. Till I see it, I'll shout out, hallelujah, here, hallelujah, life with you is worth fighting. Eyes haven't seen, ears haven't heard, there is so much more still worth.
Greetings each of you by the very means of internet radio. You tuned in to the Motivational Monday with yours truly. Hey, this is the 6 Eyes Radio Network. We're here to be a blessing to you on this wonderful day. I want to say hello to Ken and Ruth Wolfgang. God bless Brother Charles and all of those that make up this wonderful program. Sister Mikhail, and God bless you, Sister Emily. We're praying for you and your family. Heard the news about your aunt, and we are definitely in prayer for your family. And so it's our prayer that everything will work well for you and your family in this season. Well, let's go on a little further. This song is by Todd Delaney, called the anthem.
Hallelujah. You have won the victory. Lift up your voice and say now. You have won it all for me. I am strong. I now can every. I smile when I now we have what we took. And the promise is broken.
Delaney with the anthem. Amen. God is the risen King. Jesus is the risen King. As seated in majesty. Amen. We're so glad for him doing his version of the anthem. So many other different artists have done it and done a very great job at it. And I like his rendition of that song, the anthem. Well, once again, want to say hello to the callers online right now. I see 216. 901-440. Well, God bless all of you. How are y'all doing this evening?
I'm doing well there, Pastor Bonner. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Thank you for grabbing hold of the board today as well. I think my line is still glitching for whatever strange reason. And it's been doing that for the past 20 minutes or more. So, but nevertheless,
hey,
we're still moving forward. God bless you, Sister Emily. How you doing on this wonderful evening?
Mom heard you, and she said to tell you hello.
Well, you make sure you tell her I said our prayers are definitely with her. And your aunt and good evening.
Oh, and she said to let you know if I don't behave, she's gonna mail me down to you.
tell her I'm gonna email her a couple switches and FedEx her some a good leather belt.
Dad.
You don't have to do that. I've already got two nice big leather belts, and they're already nice and worn in. They're nice and flexible.
In Thanks other words,
lot,
we, got her, we got her covered.
And we one has a nice belt buckle on it. It says Peterbilt.
Uh-oh. Yeah, I got that. I went to the leather store and we got the good rawhide leather. That leather that it lasts for centuries.
See, the one I got, I could take it, hold the two ends, push in on it a little bit, and pop it back. I go pop.
That used to be the one that
you did that when I was on the phone with my son. And he asked me, what in the heck was that?
Yep, those good leather belts, you could do that with it.
Yeah. That's
and we
the sound.
Were in an enclosed garage when he done it, Pastor Bonnet.
So it's going to have a good sound effect. Going to have that FX effect on it.
Yep.
Amen.
I think it's like 2-3 inch, two and a half inch wide belt.
Yeah, they are good and they are very thick and wide, so you can cover a lot of real estate. All right, Brother Sixty, are you with us? How you doing this evening? Take yourself off of mute.
Get your coffee, big bro.
Yeah, and tell Siri to stop blocking. tell her Samsung wouldn't have done that. So.
Hey, what's wrong with Androids?
He'll be back with a little vengeance. To all our listeners, we want to say to all of our contributors, those that have donated and given in the past, we want to say thank you. Thank you for your contribution to this wonderful radio programming here at the Six Eyes Radio Network. We thank you. For those that would like to contribute, here's some information that you may like to know. You may make your contributions two ways, one of two ways, that is through the Cash App platform or the PayPal platform. If you're utilizing the Cash App platform, that will be $6Eyes24. That is $SIXEYES, the digit number 2 and the digit number 4. For the Cash App platform. If you're utilizing the PayPal platform, you type in the email address 6i6 That is SIXEYES, the digit number 6, at gmail.com. And always, it is greatly appreciated whether your gift is small or large. We thank you for it, and may God continue to bless you. Now, for further programming, we're going to go a little bit further. Israel Hawk has a song here, If It's Not For Your Grace. A wonderful song. Let us enjoy that, and we'll be back, and maybe Six will be with us at that time.
Change my rescue, that I want to thank you for your grace.
If it wasn't for your grace, I tell you, where would we be if it wasn't for the grace of God? Amen. Missionary can't run us a commercial. Amen.
Okay, one second here.
Glory to God. Where would we be if it wasn't for his grace? God is truly good to us. We'll be right back with testimony service in just a few moments.
Hi, I'm a Christian.
And I'm a Christian too.
You know, in order to influence the world, we have to learn how to connect with them.
Oh, that's great. You know, I can connect. I'm bilingual.
Wow, you speak two languages.
Yeah, I speak English and Christianese.
Chinese, that's cool.
No, not Chinese, Christianese.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever heard of that.
That's because they don't teach it in school.
Huh. Yeah, it doesn't ring a bell. Can you give me an example?
Well, I'd love to, but in order to show you how, I'd have to have someone here.
Well, that's great. Meet my friend Lauren.
Oh, you brought a friend.
Yeah.
That's great. Hi, Lauren.
Hi.
Nice to meet you.
You too.
You need to get saved.
Saved from what?
All right. What I'm trying to say is you need to be born again.
So are you talking about, like, reincarnation, or...?
Look, if you don't get set, or if you're not born again, look, you just have to turn or burn, okay? Turn or burn!
Look, what my friend's trying to say is, Jesus wants to have a real relationship with you and be a part of your life.
Oh, I get it.
See? I told you everyone understood Christianese.
Something about waiting we don't like. We naturally become impatient because we're living in a world where not only do we want it now, we can have it now. That's not the way it is with God. Do you value God's choice enough to wait?
Hello, I'm Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang.
And I'm Emily Barnum.
And we're blind trucking of Ashtabula, Ohio.
Keep your hands on the wheel.
And your eyes on the road.
And we support this program.
Here on the Six Eyes
Radio Network.
All right.
All right. Thank you. Amen. Amen. I tell you, here on the Six Eyes Radio Network, we have wonderful programming for you throughout the week. Every Sunday we have the Six Eyes Gospel Show at 1. We have this program, which is the Six Eyes Motivational Monday with yours truly, Pastor Kenneth Bonnet. We have on Tuesdays at 8 p.m. a word from the King. Then we're back on Wednesday night Bible study with Missionary Wolfgang. Amen. And we turn around on Thursday for the Jumbo Braille program at 9 p.m. Following that on Friday, we have the talk with Missionary Ken and the Bible prophecy from Sister Ruth Wolfgang. And we have that on Saturday is our opening program. And each of those are a wonderful program for you to be a part of each and every week. We always look forward to bringing you great gospel music, great gospel insight. And like on this evening, we pray to say something to encourage you, to lift you up. We'll be in the book of Matthew tonight, in the fifth chapter of the book of Matthew, and we're dealing with the love portion of that context. Amen. And so we are looking forward to sharing an open dialogue with you on this evening. We have testimony coming up next song by the Full Gospel Baptist Choir. Wonderful to look forward to. No more bickering amongst one another about financial status, race, sex, creed, or any of those things. But being able to come under one unity, under God, heaven poses to be the place of dreams, but it is a reality. And we don't have to wait to get to heaven to start loving one another. We can start loving one another here on earth. The message of Jesus Christ was, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Not going to be, not will be, but is. And he said that over 2,000 years ago. So therefore, we have the opportunity now to rejoice with one another, to love on one another, to fellowship with one another regardless of whatever our status may be. We can come under the umbrella of Christ and just love one another like we should. Wouldn't that be a better world? Wouldn't that be a world that you wouldn't have to worry about hunger, wouldn't have to worry about being homeless? That would be a world where our children could be safe, not looking over their shoulders for predators, not wondering who's going to create the next human traffic wheel there, and just looking for God just to cause us to be in true unity as the human race. Amen. That's just a sight. And we have to get up every morning with our mind on making the space that God gave us better in our homes. That means we got to love those that's close to us, love those within our community, our neighbors, to love those in our cities, in our states, and in our country as a whole, in order for us to love the world. So that is a wonderful thing that I want to say. I want to truly thank the Full Gospel Baptist Church Fellowship for that song, One Sound, One Voice. Truly, that's a blessed song. Amen. Well, in the beginning on Monday program, I always love to bring up testimony service. To me, I just take the Bible literally, coming out of Revelation there, the third chapter, where he said, and they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And so I believe that carries weight and merit. And so this part of the program, we focus on giving God some praise, to tell him thank you, to share with others something good that God has done for us. I got a testimony. It's mine's indirectly. It's something that God did for one of my children. But I'm going to save mine after you share yours. Amen. So at this moment, I'm going to sing my song, and then we're going to have testimony. All right? Can we do that? Sure we can. I believe I testify
while I have a chance.
Oh, I believe I testify while I have a chance. I believe I testify while I have a chance, for I may not have a chance anymore. Hey, testimony service is open. Come on, tell of the goodness of God in your life. 3, 2, 1, it's your turn.
Well, I want to thank the Lord that we had a good day over here. I was just doing some things around the house and also getting some things taken care of for the ministry. And there's a chance things might get worked out for the ministry as far as our website, because as you well know, a while back there I mentioned how we're going to need the funds raised before January for our website, and it looks like there's still a chance that that might be done. So we're still praying that God will provide for that, and it's just that I just want to thank the Lord for that, and just thanking God for everybody here at the Six Eyes Radio Network. And I want to thank God that when Six gave me a call earlier today, he was having a little problem with his computer and a screen reader on it, and I was glad that I was able to give him help and get him back to work today. Amen.
Amen, amen. That is a wonderful thing. Bye. We'll come back to it. I would definitely like for you just to share a little bit about your website after a few other testimonials. So 3, 2, 1, it's your turn. And the next person with a testimony.
Good evening, everyone. This is
Good evening, Brother C.
Well, there's Brother C.
Yes. This is the founder. This is Six Eyes.
Yes, it is.
First and foremost, I made the woke list early this morning, which got me to this point. And I am back up at work. So thank Wolfgang for that. And I will be enjoying some salmon steaks after the broadcast. Amen.
That is a good thing. That's a good thing. I had some tilapia before the broadcast. So I think you're going to enjoy yourself real well.
Amen. If I didn't love this show so much, I'd be off air right now eating, but praise God.
I hear you. I hear you. Amen. Well, we thank God that you enjoyed this program. And preferably, there will be something to encourage you or motivate you on this day. Amen. All right. 3, 2, 1. Is there another testimony on the line this evening?
Yeah, I praise the Lord today. I got my driver's license again, and now I can drive whatever. I can even drive a semi now. So I'm kidding. I had somebody tell me I was a good enough driver to drive a semi. So now I'm all set. So I just have to get the CDL. But that's just a joke, because Kenny and I are just probably going to help a friend. She just wants to get a U-Haul, and I want to drive it for her. So.
All right. That's good. I believe you might be able to drive a semi. You know the trucking driving company still have they were like 80,000. Or one said they was 80,000 jobs short, or 800,000 jobs short truck driving. So you had you had CDL companies giving discounts on their training programming. You had some company are willing to train you for your CDLs, and all you had to do is be willing to go through the process and to get those licenses and be able to pass that small physical background. They have to make sure that your blood pressure is under control. If you have high blood pressure, that you're on your medicine and you're taking it like you should. They don't want you stroking out on behind the wheel or anything like that. And one other thing, but you have programs out there that's helping people. I tell you, there are so many jobs that are available now. It's really not you really don't have an excuse why not to have a job if you say you're looking for a job. Because everywhere you turn, there's help wanted signs everywhere. And there's a lot of businesses, and going into the holiday season like we are now, there's a lot of companies doing temp work, bringing on seasonal workers. And so there are wonderful opportunities out there for those that are looking for employment. And so there's it's out there. You just got to get up and go get it. Amen. Amen. Is there any other before I share my testimony? I like to share my testimony because God is a good God. I was just reminded this morning. So is there any other? I'm a talker.
Testimony.
You have a testimony. Come on, Sister Emily. Testify.
Well,
to the goodness of God.
You know, I really thank God he blessed me this year to see another birthday last week.
Amen. Amen. We celebrate
and
you for
I got
making
to,
it this far.
Even though I couldn't physically be in the rehab center with my mom, and I had to only do the window visit.
Uh-huh.
She had her cell phone. I had mine. Had mine on speaker. And, you know, I got to thank God my mom couldn't get a hold of me last Wednesday because I would be in a stinker picking on her. And then
yep.
Tonight before the broadcast, I got to messing with her again, and she goes, and you know when I was talking to you and Sister Bonnet?
Uh-huh.
And I think even Missionary Ken will find this one funny. I said something to be funny with her, and she goes, how fast do you want me to put you in a box and mail you down to Sister Brother and Sister Bonnet?
Yeah.
I said no, I told her, I said no, because I'd have my tail in hot water all the time.
That's right. We're gonna cut off all the rough edges till you get back smooth.
No, you know what my grandmother used to do, Pastor Bonnet? My one grandmother, if she caught you doing something you weren't supposed to. She'd cut off three king hickories, peel them, braid them together, and then get you.
Yes. Unfortunately, I can testify to that process, but they didn't do it. They made you go pick your own. And that's what they would do because you got smart enough to try to bring back a small switch. So they sent you to get two more. And you were slick, and you picked two small ones again. And when they finished braiding it, you were like, that's bigger than the one that they used last time. And when they got finished stinging you, you knew the next time that you was told to go get your switch, get a big one because it's going to hurt less. And then you got some sense, and you realize, wait a minute, if I just obey, I won't have to get this switch at all. So we learned.
Yeah, and don't quickly. Ever take them back when they swatch you the first time and bust either.
That's right. Cause they know how to make up for it. Amen. Well,
now
we're definitely
my grandfather, he had his own version of that. It wasn't a switch. He had a paddle that he took an old cutting board with the holes in it to keep air resistance down, and it had grooves on it to help get the message across.
Yes, Lord.
We got that a couple of times, didn't we, Kenny?
Yeah, and then on it he had printed the Board of Education.
Oh, Lord. No, he didn't.
Yes, sir, he did.
Yes, Lord.
Kenny,
I guess you definitely were saying A's. Hey!
Just like his brother. Wasn't that Tommy or was that, who was that, Kenny? That would run around your grandfather's house yelling, energize me, and he got energized.
Oh, that was my brother Tommy, because he was into that Star Trek thing, and he was watching it Next thing you know, he was running around the house saying, "Energize me, energize me." My grandfather had his paddle with him right there, and he grabbed Tommy up, snatched him up, laid him over his lap. He goes, "Okay, I'll energize you." Boom, boom, boom.
Oh,
Brother Tommy
wow.
never asked
wow.
to be energized again.
Yeah, that's the Energizer Bunny that did stop. That's the one that wanted to stop. All right. All right. Well, we thank God for parents that took time to discipline us the right way,
mm-hmm.
so that we wasn't unruly. If because of those disciplines, I've never been to prison. Because of those disciplines, I didn't get into as much trouble as I could have gotten into, and I could have gotten in a lot. But she is my grandmother. It worked real good inside of me. And so it helped me to avoid a lot of things because I was thinking about the consequences that I was going to have to endure. So we thank God for those that loved us enough to show that they care, not just to chastise us, but then to instruct us as well. Because I sincerely believe that any correction, any chastisement, whether it be a spanking, a whooping, or just a timeout, if it's done without correction, without the instruction, then I think that is abuse. I think it's very important for us when we discipline our children, our grandchildren, that we do it in a manner that is helping to correct bad behavior, and that they have the understanding of what it is that they done wrong and why. And I think when we do that the right way, our children are better, our communities can be better, we're definitely are safer, because if they respect you, they are less likely to steal from you. They are less likely to lie to you. They are less likely to pull a gun or any other type of weapon to harm you. And so I think it's very important for us to discipline our children properly, because when we discipline them improperly, it can have the opposite effect. It can push them to crime. It can push them to harming others. It can push them into abusing others, even their very own children that they may have, and so afterwards. And so I think it's very important for us to have a healthy balance within that. I just believe the Bible. It told us, you know, that if we didn't discipline our children, that was like making them a bastard, unfathered. And so it says, beat them and know that they won't die. Sometimes that correction and behavior may save their lives from getting out there in the wrong types of gangs and getting in the wrong environment and doing the wrong things. And so that very chastisement may be the thing that preserved their lives, but we don't know. But when we do it right, and especially when we're doing it knowing that God himself has given us charge to discipline our children, and no one can take that from us. I remember having a conversation with someone, and they were saying, "You can't beat your child." I said, well, I didn't vote for that. I don't know what y'all talking about. The Bible that I read said, beat them and know that they won't die. And I'm not an absentee father. My children are not bastards. And so I'm going to chastise them when needed. But I'm also going to reward them also. I'm also going to love them. I'm also going to tell them that I love them. I'm also going to hug and kiss them. I'm going to let them feel love at home so they don't have to seek the world for love because they have received it in the home. And that makes the world of a difference to a child. It did for me. And so my mom, 4'11", and she always looked like a giant to me. I was well grown before I realized, Mama, you short. Even when I outgrew her in high school, you know, she was still a giant to me. That's how much reverence I had and have for my mother. People hear me on a conversation with my mother, and when I'm talking to my mother, I go back to my child voice. I'm not going to give that to y'all because I don't need Brother Six marking me, because he's a great imitator, and so he would imitate that voice all day long every time he hear me. So he'll probably call me after the show with that voice, so I'm not going to give it on this platform because I know him. Amen. But that's how much I love my mom and respect her. And that's how much your children will love and respect you when you do right by them to help them have better lives. Amen. And speaking of children, I'm thankful. A testimony. How sometimes you never know how things unfold. In the midst of this pandemic, my youngest son was still trying to go to school, and he had signed up for HVAC. That's that heating and air conditioning program, to get his certification for that and his certificate. And so he had signed up to one of the colleges here to go through that, and was still trying to work in the process, and all in the pandemic. And many times because of the pandemic, they couldn't come on the campus. And it's hard to do something of that caliber without being able to have hands on because, let's face it, air conditioning and heating involves hands on. You need to see different equipment. Just stating the theory of it is good, but it's not good enough. If that these are types of jobs, those types of jobs, really you need to have your hands on to know how it feels, to know what you're looking at, to have a proper understanding. But I'm thankful to the Lord that he was able to finish his program and just shortly, just a little while ago here, they mailed his certificate here. And that's the good part, but that wasn't the part that I'm celebrating. I'm celebrating because they decided, because of the pandemic, the remaining of his balance of his intuition, they simply forgave the balance due to the pandemic and gave him the letter of him being debt-free or in zero, showing his balance, his account, and everything. So I'm thankful that God opened the door to pay a debt because he was willing to be faithful and steadfast in the midst of it. And so I'm thankful for that, for him. Amen. I'm saying that for someone, that you may remain faithful in doing what you're doing. You never know what doors God may open for you to bless you financially in the area of what you are faithful in. So be encouraged. Don't be discouraged. Be encouraged. Amen. God loves you, and he's going to take care of you. So always be faithful. Amen. And never worry about the hard times. Don't worry about the hard times. Hard times are going to come, but always remember the storm going to come, but it can't last always. You know, better days are coming. Better days are coming.
All right. Racist formality still on the rise.
right, all right. Better days. Amen. I hope you have your Bibles with you as we journey together in the scriptures today. I want you to follow along with me if we look into the book of Matthew. We know in the book of Matthew, chapter 5, and it starts off with the Beatitudes. Last week, we dealt with the part that taught us about forgiveness and forgiveness as God's people. And so today we want to pick up from where we left off, and that will give us chapter 5, verse 43, 44, 45, 46, 47, and 48.
Amen,
verses
Pastor.
43 through 48. Amen, Dalton. Amen. And so we're going to jump into this, and our title is Loving as God's People. Loving as God's People. It's easy to say I love something, but many times when people use the word love, it is often confused with the word lust, or even sometimes the word like. And some people use it loosely. Some people don't use it at all. And some use it very, very sparingly. In other words, they are picky choosers about whom or what they say that they love. And so I want to say to us as born-again believers that it is our job and responsibility to love others more so than ourselves. I'm going to say it again. It is our responsibility to love others. Yes, we're to love ourselves, but when you learn to extend the love in your heart towards others, then you learn to share what God has shown you or given to you and pass that on to others. In time, we want God to bless us with many, many things. But let's be honest. If I was going to give something of value to someone, and that something of value was need be given to someone else to fulfill a need elsewhere, I may not give the highest value to this person first without testing them on some smaller thing. In other words, if there was $1 million needed there in Axabluta, and before I allow you to transport it from Tennessee to there in Ohio, I am going to make sure that I can trust you with $10 around the corner. Make sure that I can trust you with $1,000 and to return my change without me asking for it. I'm going to make sure that you are a trustworthy person. That's what I would do. But I'm also going to make sure that since you are a person of interest, that I train you and encourage you to be the best version of you. And I think that what God does for us, he puts us in situations and scenarios of our life that causes us to use the love that he has given us. And how we distribute that really shows the world our trustworthiness. So, let me ask the question. Can God trust you to love your enemy? Yeah. Can God trust you to love those that despitefully misuse you or even persecute you? Can God trust you to do that? That's an answer that you don't have to answer to me, because I'm not your judge. This is not a trial. But this is a self-examination. So, once again, it's asking the question to us. I'm included. Can God trust me to love my enemy? Can God trust me to pray for those that despitefully misuse me or even persecute me? Can God trust me to demonstrate his love to others? Now, I ask that question of me as so that you wouldn't feel like I'm pointing the finger at you. But allow me to be bold as a preacher. And I know you can't see me because we're on the telephone or we're on the airwaves. But imagine this little short preacher, 5'4" and a half, give me my half, 5 feet 4 and a half inches tall, with his finger pointing at you, asking you the question, can God trust you to demonstrate his love to your enemies and to those that do you wrong and persecute you? I am asking the question. And you don't have to answer me, but you do have to answer yourself. And I know, because I said it several times, it's kind of resonating in your mind right now. The words, can God trust me to love? I love what happened to Peter. It's a very wonderful thing. Peter was always getting in trouble with the Lord for one reason or another, seemed like it. But it is these moments of correction that allow Peter to become head of the apostles, allowed him to become their leader as they apostatized the world of their day. And so God, Christ asked Peter, Peter, do you love me? And Peter, feeling good about himself, saying, yes, Lord, you know I love you. And he asked him a second time, after giving him the instruction to feed his sheep, feed the followers, feed those of the faith. And again, after giving him that instruction, Peter, do you love me more than your brothers? Do you love me more than these? Peter's feeling good about himself again. Saying to the Lord, well, yes, Lord, you know. And he's probably saying it in a voice of appealing. You know I love you. And Christ tells him, okay, feed my lambs. For us that don't understand the difference between a sheep and a lamb, think of it as an adult and a child. someone new, someone mature. To see those new or fresh in the faith. And so Peter received that, and hearing for a third time, Christ turns to Peter, and he says to Peter, Peter, lovest thou me? And Peter, being complex at this very moment, because now here the Lord has asked him a third time. And being that Peter had been in trouble with the Lord for speaking out quickly in times before, now he's a little complex within himself, a little puzzled of what's going on, what's taking place. Did not he believe me? Have I not been convincing in my yes? What is going on? And Peter said to Christ, Lord, you know. You know. In other words, you got the answer. Yeah, if what I thought was love isn't love, you know. If I need more love, you know. If I need to demonstrate it more, you know, Lord. And the instructions came again. Feed my sheep. I think I said to this audience once before, when God called your name once, is to get your attention. When he said something twice, is to confirm what he said the first time. But a third time means that it is established in the heavens. And so here Peter's name is called three times. This is something that is established. In other words, it is something that must take place. It has to take place. It will take place. So, I don't know what your name is that's listening, but I want you to insert your name here and hear these words. Whatever your name is, Christ is asking, do you love him? And before you answer, let us read Matthew chapter 5, verse 43 through 48, so that we know what is required from the love. Verse 43 says, ye have heard that it had been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thy enemy. Now Christ is talking to them, and he's bringing their misunderstanding to light. And he's showing them that he didn't come to destroy the law, but that the law might be fulfilled in him, thereby showing us how to fulfill the law of God that God has planted in our heart, not written on paper. So he says, you heard that it has been said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Now, he is the authority of Christ. This allows us to understand that he supersedes anything that was said before this word. Remember, when you see the word but, the information prior to it, as important as it may be, the most important part comes afterwards. You know, like when we get our butt out the way, then something can truly happen because we've been blocking. That kind of. So he says, but I, who I, Christ. This is what Moses wrote to you, but I. This is what the prophet says, but I. Why can he take this position? Because in the beginning, John 1:1, was the word. Who's the word? Christ is the word. Yeshua. He is the living word. So he says, but I say unto you. This is not a suggestion. Remember, Christ, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit is one. And God is a king. That means his words are sovereign. They're not up for debate. There's no legislation that has to approve it. If he said it, that settles it. The verdict here for us is amen. That means we have to agree. This is what he says. So Christ says, but I say unto you, love your enemies. And if you're reading from the King James Version, I believe they capitalize love, the L in love. That means it's to be prioritized, to be magnified. He said, I say unto you, love your enemies. He said, I know the old law that told you love your neighbor and hate your enemy. No. Love your enemy, Christ has said. Bless them that curse you. I know this is probably a prime, the top of all the things that's hard to do in the world. How can I love my enemies? How can I bless somebody they just cussed me out? Number six, I that has to be a conversation. I mean, you just called my mama this, that, and the other and told me I was upside down and this, that, and the other, and I can go where the sun don't shine. You done told me all of this. And now the word telling me I got to still bless you. That word blessing is to call your name and say something good afterwards. I'm to bless you who called my name and said something bad afterwards. That's what a curse is. So I'm to bless you when you curse me. But this is what verse 44 tells us that we do for our enemies, that we love our enemies. And how do we love our enemies? How do we demonstrate that love? We bless them that curse us. We do good to them that hate you. Do good to them that hate us. We're to pray for them which despitefully use us and persecute us. Wow. You can't help but to be stuck on that verse. Because can I be the first to admit, Lord, we need help. Lord, I need help. I need help in loving my enemies. and blessing them that curse me and doing good. To do good, those are actions. That's not words. Do good. Do good. Do. Do. That's an action. Those are physical actions. Those are not just words. Do good to them that hate you. Pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you. That means those that make life hard for me. I'm going to pray for them. Now let me go on and read on, because I don't want you to stay sad. I don't want you to stay puzzled. Although those are a challenge, remember we read earlier about forgiveness. It is through the process of forgiveness these things come easy.
Yeah.
Easier. In other words, they may be a challenge. There may be some things that we must work through, but there are things that we can do because we have already exercised forgiveness. See, when I don't hate you, easier for me to have compassion towards you. When I hold it not against you, it's easier for me to want the best for you. And although you may have done me wrong, when I understand that sin is manipulative, and without God, all of us are possible and capable of heinous sin and selfish sin. And so it's easy for me to pray for you then, because I know if I pray for you and you receive salvation, God will reverse these circumstances. I don't have to worry about you. I don't have to look over my shoulder because you'll now be my brother or my sister. And you'll be mindful of me as your neighbor. Because these same rules that I have to apply now, because I have right understanding of salvation, as you gain that right understanding, you too will be obligated to uphold that standard of love. You too will be responsible for loving your neighbor. Hey, neighbor. You too will be responsible for loving your enemy. I once was your enemy because whatever reason you conceived in your mind to dislike me, you have let it go through the previous verses of forgiveness. So now you're not holding nothing against me. So now you're praying for me. And if you had thought I'd done you wrong, and so your action was really based on your reaction to something that you thought I'd done, then you would be praying for me. You would be doing actions of good towards me. That's why it's important for us to pray for our enemies, that they will be saved, that they will be set free, that they will be delivered, that God will reveal to them truth, and in the process, we're asking him to reveal that if we are called of any of these things that are happening. Verse 45, that ye may be the children, that ye may be. That phrase alone lets us know that we may be children of our fathers. This word children here deals with ownership. It is not referring to young, but it's referring more to sonship, which is ownership. when we do those things, that we may be children of our fathers. In other words, that we must, you know, when somebody see my sons now and they do a certain thing, they may say, you just like your daddy. Because they my sons, so they model, they pattern certain behavior of me. Since we are, when we exercise love, then people say, oh, that's a true child of God. Oh, yeah, that's a real child of God. So since the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God, since the world is waiting for the revealing of true sons and daughters of the Most High God, when we demonstrate love as God's people, people now see the love of God through our actions. That's to do good to them that hate you. Because even God reigns on the just as well as the unjust. We need rain to help things to grow. We need rain to wash away the filth. And so that same rain that blesses, that same rain that cleanses and purifies, it falls on the just as well as the unjust. So we can't have favors and say, well, I'm not going to bless you because you're not a Christian. I'm not going to bless you because you're a wino. I'm not going to bless you because you hook on drugs. No. Far be it. I am going to bless you because of these things. Why? Because I want you delivered. I want you set free. I want you to feel the love of God so that you're not walking around feeling like God don't love you. And that's the problem with our world today. Many people are walking around feeling like God don't love them. Thank you, Dietrich Haddon, for the song called Sinner's Prayer. Thank you, brother. The song goes in words like, I'm so glad that God still hears a sinner's prayer. There are people in the world that are hurting on the inside because we have made them feel like God don't care about them. Because we mistreat them, and we say we're godly. And so since we say we're godly, and they have taken our word at face value, they feel because we hate them or we done wrong to them that God don't love them. Shame on us as believers. Shame on us as children of the Most High God. Because if we're to be like our daddy, shaped in his image and in his likeness, we are, then we can't forget John 3:16. He so loved the world. Not that he followed the world around. No. But that he gave his only begotten son. He provided redemption. I'm not going to sit here and condemn you and sentence you to hell when redemption is available for all those that are breathing. That means if there's breath in my body, I can be the most heinous of criminals, the most scum of the world. There's still hope for my soul. And if you represent God, part of your obligation is to ensure that that hope reach me. Especially if I have been assigned to your circle. Now, verse 45, once again, it says, that ye may be the children of your Father, which is in heaven. So he wanted to make sure that we didn't understand. We wasn't confusing the heavenly father for our earthly fathers, because some of our earthly fathers may have been absentee fathers, may have been fathers of abuse, fathers of molestation, fathers of evil. But our heavenly father is good. Our heavenly father is righteous. And so that should be our behavior. And when the sins of the father, those generational curses have followed us, that's why we're reborn in Christ, so that we can renounce all of the evilness of our past generation and pick up the newness of life through Jesus Christ, whereby we have the spirit of adoption that gives us the right to cry, Abba, Father. Now, let me continue to read. Once again, verse 45 says, that ye may be the children of your Father, which is in heaven. Not the fathers that have died and gone to heaven, but the heavenly Father. I just want to make clear and plain for understanding. For he maketh the sun, that's why we know it's the heavenly Father, because only he makes the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. I just said all that. The sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. Verse 46. For if we love them which love you, if you love only those that love you, reward have you outside of their personal love. He said, do not even the Republicans the same, those that I call Republicans. He said, do not these politicians do the same? They scratch the back of those that scratch their backs. So don't the wicked watch out for those that watch out for them? So he's saying, if we only love those that love us, you know, if I only love Pentecostals, and I don't love the Baptists, I don't love the Presbyterians, I don't love the Catholics, I don't love this or that, because they are this or that, then I'm doing no better than the world. Now, this is in the Bible. So if you challenge my theology here, if you challenge my concept here, I share with you, it's not mine, it's in the book. That's why I ask you to open your Bibles and follow with me, because you're welcome to argue any opinion I may have. But if the Word of God says it, that's what it says. And that is that on that. So verse 46 says, for if ye love them which love you, what reward have you or have ye? Do not even the Republicans the same? So he's asking questions to them. Not that he don't know the answer, but so that they will state the answer in their heart. Verse 47, and if ye salute your brethren only, those of your same faith, that's where I was at earlier, for you that think I missed it. This brethren can follow family members, racial, your creed, whatever, it whomever you deem your brethren. If you only salute them, that means if you're wealthy, you only salute others that are wealthy. You only respect those that are wealthy. If you're poor, you only respect those that are poor. If you're black and you only respect those that are black. If you're white and only respect those that are white. If you're whole and only respect those that are whole. If you're broken and only respect those that are broken. What do you more than others? Do not even the Republicans. So, there it is, second time. I told you, He's establishing something. He has affirmed it now. Okay? Be ye therefore, and I want y'all to really, really listen to the scripture text. Don't be in denial. God is faithful. He's just. And he already knows what he has given us to do and to be. And because he's not unfair, he never tells us to do something we cannot do. He will, however, tell us stuff to do that we don't want to do or may feel it's hard to do. But the reality of it is we can do it. Why can we do it? Because he said so. When he spoke into nothing and said, let there be light, because he said it, it happened. So here's the 48. Be, that's a command. Who is it to? You. Be ye. Therefore, perfect. I lost probably 90% of y'all right there. Man, there's no way I can be perfect. Ain't nobody perfect. Stop arguing with me because I didn't write it. This is what's in the book. We're reading the book. If you don't like it, tear it out. I'm leaving my ass whole because I need to be made whole. And I don't need God tearing nothing out of my life other than sin. He says, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. Now, I'm going to give you two definitions to bring clarity. In verse 43, we saw the word neighbor. Who's your neighbor? Any other person. Your fellow mankind is your neighbor. So your neighbor is everybody around you. Period. That's your neighbor. Your neighbor is another human being. That neighbor. The word perfect comes from that Greek word telos, T-E-L-E-I-O-S, telos. Telos is a state of being complete. Mature. Complete. The phrase that we like to say here in America, grow up, usually means we're saying to the person, act mature or be mature, be responsible. And so here, perfect is telling us to be completely mature. It's telling us not to behave unsoberly, clear-minded, and mature. Why? Because we go all the way back to verse 45. We are the children of our Father. So if we're to carry out his duties for us, his rule, his regulation for us, then we have the apostleship of ownership. We are his heirs. We also have power of attorney. As believers, these signs shall follow them that believe. So God has given several things in our responsibility that when we're not perfect, when we're not mature, then we don't carry those things out correctly. Therefore, we leave chaos in our wake. That's why we, as born-again believers, cannot afford to have hatred towards mankind. We cannot walk around as born-again believers with unforgiveness in our heart. It is a seed of discord. It is a seed of disobedience. And those things can lead to apostasy. And the list goes on. So that's my word of encouragement today to you, wherever you may be, whomever you may be. I want to encourage you to love as God's people. Remember, your love reflects God's love when people know that you are a child of God. And so if someone asks you what church you go to and you tell them and they say, thank you because I'm not going there, that means your love demonstration has failed. That's usually what that means. Because they may say it in a way because of conversation you have had. But, Pastor Bonnet, what if I told them the truth? Yeah, okay, how did you tell it? That's my question. I wasn't there. Now, if you've done everything right and they say that, that means they just don't want the truth. But if you attack them with the gospel and you beat them down with the gospel, then I can understand why they don't want to be a part of your church. Because your church has proven to be a bully. And what we see of our God, he has not bullied anyone. He can because he's all powerful. He could because he's all powerful. But he don't. Because he also is all-loving. He won't because he is also all-loving. We have a God that loves us, period. We have a God that cares for us, period. Now I'm going to stop for a moment. I want to hear some feedback from those of you on the line that's still on the line with us. There's more. I can go into details. I can go into the history of it and talk about a few other things. But at this point, I really like to hear what you have to say concerning loving as God's people. Not any other.
Well,
thing.
I like.
Come on, Brother Charles.
I like the fact
gotcha.
That It's so easy to love the ones that love you, but loving your enemy, it knocks them off guard, and they won't know which way to take you. But it's doing what God says to love thy neighbor as you love yourself, but you also love your enemy. And just try to be as perfect as possible. You know, God made us perfect. You know, we were made perfect in his mm-hmm. image, so we're a split image of him. So we just try to do our best to act accordingly in our everyday interactions in life with people and just, you know, fixing up on ourselves.
That's a good point. We are made in the image and likeness of God, so if God is perfect, we was created as perfect being. And that word perfect, again, is complete. And it really deals with maturity in its Greek
yes,
form. T-E. L-E-I-O-S, telos is a Greek word there, which means completely mature, developed,
mm-hmm.
you know. That's why the Bible goes on to say not that I'm a child, for a child different nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. So God is calling us to maturity. And the way we know that we are mature is how we demonstrate our love for God. And
well, each day I live,
each day I live, I grow in maturity. I mean, he's not through with me yet, so I still got work to do as long as I breathe. Thank you. Great
amen.
Message tonight.
Amen. My hands are raised, too. I'm in that amen corner. Each day he's still working on me on how to love right. Because, let's face it, sometimes we don't know how we're going to behave until a situation actually hit us. We don't know how we're going to respond till that event actually take us by surprise. You know, I hope and pray that I don't go to cussing and swearing at nobody. But, you know, I haven't had nobody run me off the road. Now, that's not no clue for any of y'all to try to run me off the road now. Because I may be a little feisty bike. You know, the wheel turns the other way, too. And I drive a big truck now. I ain't going off the road without a fight. But we don't know how we're going to behave until we're in certain situations. And we just pray that God has develop us to the point that we can endure. James said, count it all joy when, not if, when you fall into diverse temptation. So I love going to be tested, people. Anybody else? Thank you, Brother Charles, for sharing. I really appreciate that.
Well,
and thank you for being
Pastor
candid and open.
Pastor
come on,
Bonnet.
Missionary Karen. Come on.
Me? With me, it's just like a T-shirt that I saw a long time ago. It showed like a road sign, yellow road sign, and it just had two words, under construction.
Yeah. I'm sorry for laughing. You caught me off guard. I forgot who was talking. You do come up with some stuff. That said, under construction. Okay. I can deal with that. Because when a road is under construction, you can't be mad at it because it's bumpy. The sign told you ahead of time.
Pastor Bonnet.
All right. What's your demonstration of love, Sister Emily?
Throw construction ahead.
Oh, you gonna piggyback with your buddy. All right, I got you. You just letting them know that. So you got all the little cones out on the side already lined up. So
In short, there's a song that goes, God's still working on me.
I hear Ruth in the background. She going to let her know she's not the background singer. She's going to have to be the foreground singer. Come on to the phone. Come on to the mic. Come on to the mic, Sister Ruth. Sing your song.
I got to agree with Sister Ruth. I heard what she said.
You mean he's still working on me, make me what he wants me to be. Took him just a week to make the moon and stars, sun and earth and Jupiter and Mars. Love him, so patient he must be. He's still working on me.
All right. That here to be coming to your iTunes just soon as Brother Charles finished bringing the recording. Brother Charles, we got an assignment here. He's still working on me by Ruth Wolfgang. number one.
Yeah.
Somebody,
you mean he has to be an angel?
Number one single? In Ohio and world abroad.
Pastor Bonnet, I think somebody lost their key.
That's all right. Thank God for the lost and found. Amen. And that's why we have master recording artists like yourself to go ahead and master masterpiece. And he's still working on me. We heard it first here on the Six Eyes Radio Network debut. It's going to be coming back again live in 2022, and so we're going to be ready for it. So Sister Ruth, get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready. Like TDJ said, get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready. We want you to get ready. Coming with that, he's still working on me, because that's what we all, that can be our anthem. God is still working on us. Amen. And we're not saying that as a cop-out. We're not saying that as an excuse for misbehavior. But we're saying that because we are all growing and developing. Amen. Can I get another amen? Can I get another
amen?
I got one amen. Can I get another amen? Thank you, Dalton. Can I get one more, just one more amen? He's still working on me. All right, there we go. There we go. Now we got a full house. Amen, amen. Yeah, we got a full house now. Amen. God is working on us. Amen. Anybody else? This is a wonderful
lesson.
And it's
good to hear Brother Dalton out here tonight.
Yes, it is. And these lessons like this is important for us to talk about amongst ourselves, because sometimes things stick to us more than we realize. And it takes friends that will share and be honest with us of our actions and our words to help us to be mindful of forgiving and loving the way God says to love. Because let's be honest, sometimes it's just very easy to be angry, to be upset. But it's not a sin to be angry. The Bible says anger, but sin not. So we can be upset, but never become mad. Never lose complete control. Because if you lose control as a believer, you didn't lose it. You gave it. Because the devil has no authority over our bodies, because we have already surrendered to God. So he can't make us do anything we are not willing to do ourselves. If God don't force us to do certain things, he surely have not given the devil power to make us do anything. That's our confidence, okay, that God didn't give the devil more authority than he exercised towards us. So we just have to remember not to yield our bodies to the devil. You know, sometimes it's an easy thing to do, give ear to, you know, anger and frustration and say some choice words. And sometimes those are the easy thing. But when we remember that we have done those things, let's have the boldness of Christ through the Holy Spirit to ask God first for forgiveness, to repent to those that we have done that to, and do our very best not to repeat that act again. And see, when we can do that, we are helping. Hear what I'm saying, brothers and sisters. We are truly helping our world develop and become more perfect. That means mature. The book says, be ye perfect. So don't say out your mouth you can't be perfect. I know when we think of perfection, we think of no flaws. But how many of us take an exam and say, I'm not going to make 100. I can make 99, but I can't make 100. 100 on the exam means you got it all right. You studied it. You got it all right. You wouldn't consciously know all the answers and say, I'm not going to get it all right because I don't want nobody to think I'm perfect. So I'm not going to be an A-plus student because I don't want people to think I'm perfect. Saying that out my mouth and you hearing that, that really sounds kind of foolish, doesn't it? So when it comes down to spiritual things that we know and understand, if God allow us to make 100 on exams that's done by man, isn't he able to let us make 100 on spiritual things? Hello, somebody. Hello. I know okay, there you go. So there's nothing wrong with scoring 100 on the test. So let us get away from the idea of not being perfected. Okay? All it means is we're mature. We're accepting responsibility. We're owning up to the obligation. None of us, if we as a business person, that will have a manager over someone and you in charge that manager to oversee, and he say, well, I didn't want them to think I was over-managing. What is that? What do the word manager mean? It's to supervise, to oversee, to ensure. So you expect that manager to do the manager job. So we as mature saints, God is holding us responsible of stewardship to be good managers. And we start off with charity. We have compassion in our hearts towards our fellow men and women, knowing that they are capable of mistakes. And when somebody say, hey, man, I messed up, I'm sorry, forgive them. Even if you think they lying through their teeth, forgive them. Say it. Say, hey, okay, well, I'll forgive you. Because if they're lying, that's between them and God. If they lie, it's going to reveal itself soon. But don't you lose sleep. Don't you lose faith because of the bad deeds of others. Amen. Well, Dalton was the only one giving me some
amen.
So, yeah, there we go. See what I'm saying?
Wow.
Hey,
all right, brother.
I feel my love right there. I feel my love right there. Amen.
Man.
I'm gonna put a sound gauge on this on this board. I'm gonna start bringing my own amen. Amen.
Wow.
When y'all don't want to give me my amens, I'm gonna just hit the button and you're gonna say amen, preacher. Amen, preacher. Keep preaching,
man.
Preacher. Tell the truth, preacher. Hey, we are at the end of our program. We want to say thank you. We have Brother Charles here today. We always welcome you to all of our programming. There's much programming here on the Six Eyes Radio Network. You're welcome to each of the programs. You can always go to Brother Charles, what's the other information where they can go to the iTunes, and would you give that information as we close out today? I always get contact around those. So
it's all right. It's all right. So to enjoy the Six Eyes Radio Network anytime you want, day, night, wherever you are in the part of the world, you can simply go to your podcast portion of the app on your phone, on your iPhone. You select podcast, and in the search you type in Six Eyes Radio. That is SIXEYES Radio, RADIO. And once you press search, the first thing you'll see is SER, Six Eyes Radio. And the first description you'll see is Motivational Monday. If you see that, you're on the right page. And at the top right corner, press subscribe, and you will have the Six Eyes Radio Network on the go. Six Eyes Radio Network on demand. Simply go to your podcast section on your phone, be it your Android or iPhone. Type in Six Eyes, SIXEYES, Radio, RADIO. And in the top right corner, press subscribe, and you will have Six Eyes Radio whenever you want Six Eyes Radio. Thank you.
Amen, amen. Once again, we offer up our prayers to our nation as a whole. In fact, let us just bow our heads as we pray out. Normally, I let a song close us out, but let's close out in a word of prayer as we pray for our nation. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for life itself. We thank you for giving us a reasonable portion of health and strength. We thank you for allowing us to be clothed and in our right frame of mind. Lord, today, Lord God, we as a station, as a group of believers, we lift up our nation to you as a whole. We lift up our leaders, for they are men and women of clay feet. They are capable of mistakes. But, Lord God, they also are capable of great deeds. And we're praying, Lord God, that you will help them to make great decisions for our nations that will cause our nation to prosper. We ask that you will bless our medical teams all over, our doctors, our physicians, those that's in the health field care, that's bringing new medicine to the platform to help aid people. But God, we don't want to just pacify our conditions. Help bring solution that will bring cures to these ailments that bothers us, that condemns us, that hinders us. Help us to live a more healthier life. We praying for our president and vice president. You know the decision that they must make for the nation, and we are praying that their cabinet members are people of wisdom, that people that will do what's right because it's right. And so we pray for our governors of each state. We're praying for the voices that they must listen to, but we're praying that they have the courage to make sound and solid decisions. We're praying for our local mayors in our towns, that they too also will make good and sound decisions for the people. And we pray for all of our spiritual leaders, whatever their position may be, apostles, bishops, pastors, evangelists, teachers, prophets, whatever they may be. God, we're praying that they will continue to press on, that they will not be weary in well-doing, for we know that in due season we all shall reap if we faint not. So give them strength to stand, to keep on pressing on, and to keep on praying for others as needed. And Lord God, as you do these, we just want to say thank you. Thank you for your great love towards us, your great love for us, your continuous love for us. We thank you. All of these things we receive because of your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you right now for the leading of the Holy Spirit that guides us, that leads us, and tells us the truth. We thank you that we're not lonely, for we have the Comforter in the Holy Spirit. We love you today, Father God, and we bless your name now. In Jesus' mighty name, thank you, Father. Amen and amen. Once again, thank you all for joining us here on the Six Eyes Radio Network. This has been the Six Eyes Motivational Monday with yours truly, Mr. Kenneth Body. I love you with the love of Christ. Be blessed is my prayer. Until the next time, God bless. Have a wonderful evening. God bless you all. Love you. Y'all take care.
God bless you. Love you, Dad.
Love you, too.